Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Amen. Well, I've been super excited about today. I've been really excited. Last week, you guys didn't know, but we were going to have Dorman and Erica share last week their journey that they've been on with Erica's cancer and just a whole bunch of things. But they're going to be sharing March the 9th. And Erica's a teacher, but I really believe they're both evangelists at heart. So that'd be a great time to invite somebody. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm going to invite somebody on March 9th. I may have to meet somebody to invite them, but I'm going to invite somebody, all right? Because sometimes in our church, we know a lot of us, right? All right, so that's March the 9th. But today, I have a word that's been kind of burning. It's been probably at least a week and a half. So I'm excited. I'm trying to catch my breath still from worship, actually. So how many love challenges? Some people love challenges. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say a challenge? Difficulty, okay, difficulty. Stretch, learning. Something. Did that just happen to you, Karen? Yep. Something that takes you out of your comfort zone. Absolutely. Stress. Fear. All right. Fear. Problem solving. Family. There's a man that's being super honest from the. You're like all in, Dave. I love it. Challenge. Okay. How many can see also challenge as a good thing? Like I love. I don't do them as much anymore, but I've done a Tough Mudder, I've done a Spartan Race, and those are challenges, right? Those are things that I love to challenge myself to see if I can push myself. How many like to sometimes push yourself to greater things? I think we've all done it. You know, I just quickly thought of you and your artwork. That's, you know, you've challenged yourself in artwork. And how many know something that you have challenged yourself in? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm sure you all have, maybe you don't think of it right away. Now, what would you think if I said the word, how many love obstacles? Yeah, exactly. Obstacles kind of have a different connotation, dude, right? Obstacles are actually often barriers. We had some obstacles today in the parking lot, and it wasn't the way people parked. Maybe you came in and you're like, why are people parking this way? We had a sheet of ice. In the front, one of our drains got clogged and it backed up and that was all ice. So that's a bit of an obstacle when you're walking into the building and it's ice, right? Now, maybe you're young and you're like, I don't care. I could fall and it's no big deal. But as you get older, falling is less exciting, right? It doesn't matter if you're short like me and not a long way to go. Falling is not as exciting as it used to be. And, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself, damage. We don't want that obstacle, but we can have obstacles in our life. And obstacles are actually barriers keeping us from something. Now, I want to introduce you to a man that you probably have heard of. You might have seen. If this is brand new, that's awesome. But if you could put the picture up of him jumping in the pool, this is Nick. I want to say Wojcik. I don't know how to say his name, last name, but it's Nick. We'll go with Nick, all right? How many have seen Nick before? I just want you to, for a second, to look at the joy on that man's face. I also want you to grasp the fact that he is jumping into a pool somehow, and he's about to swim. Nick also surfs. He plays soccer. I'm not sure what Nick doesn't do. That's the kind of guy that Nick is. Now, how many would agree that Nick was born with obstacles, right? Barriers to his, what we would call a normal life. He has no arms. He has a foot. He has no leg on the right side, our left. He has challenges. I read a bit of his story. I didn't know all of it, but I didn't realize, and it makes sense, that when he was in high school, grade school and high school, he was in depression. He was at times suicidal because he couldn't figure out how to do life. Like, what would life look like? And then one day he made a determination, and he is a man of faith. He said, I am going to live my life without obstacles. And this man changed his mindset to become somebody who does more than most of us do in our lifetime. This is Nick with his family. If you could show that picture, please. Nick has, I believe, I want to say four. I think he has five now. This is an older pitcher. He's a motivational speaker, his wife, his kids. He travels the world. He has a ministry about breaking obstacles in other people's lives. He shattered obstacles. That's fantastic. How many want to be obstacle shatterers? You're like, I don't like challenges, but man, let's do it this way. How many know that every day you will have a obstacle in front of you? Sometimes our obstacles are getting out of bed. Now, it could be because as we get older, our muscles get tired, and it could be just literally getting out of bed. It could be you're battling depression. Don't answer that. But I bet most people in here have had a day where you're like, I just don't want to get out of bed today. I would rather sit in bed. We had a lazy day a while back. We stayed in bed till like 9. For us, that was wild because we're just always out of bed early, but we stayed in bed and we read and it was not an obstacle. It was a joy. But I do remember a season where I had a hard time getting up, and it was an obstacle to get up. It was an obstacle to find joy. We don't like those obstacles. But there's a man, and remember this, who found a way through obstacles. I want to talk to you guys today about obstacles. And I want to, I'm excited when I was worshiping for a couple things. I was excited because it was going well. That was a good thing because we're in a new system and inner ears, and we've got a click going to keep us on time, and it's just a big change. So the first joy was, I'm thankful that this is working. The bigger joy was I'm reading the lyrics and going, Lord, I want to be able to convey what's inside of me. Because there have been some obstacles in our lives that have been shattered, and you may not even know it. Like absolutely destroyed, that allows us to sit here today and corporately worship. One of the obstacles, we have been born in Canada. Some of you came to Canada. A lot of you are born in Canada. You don't have the obstacle of knowing what it's like to hide in fear and try to find a place to worship. Somebody else fought that obstacle for us. Isn't that beautiful? What I want to draw your attention to today, and we're going to go to a story. I want to draw your attention to a dividing line. We look at it as 0 or 1, AD or BC, AD. That moment Jesus was born was a dividing line in history. More than you can imagine. And I've made it a goal in my life to try to find every obstacle that I see in Scripture that still needs to be destroyed so we can have just incredible intimacy, fellowship with God. Anybody want that? All right. I want you to think for a second. I say that when Jesus was born, it was actually 70 years later before it fully came into effect, calling the new covenant, the new covenant. But I want you to, for a second, imagine yourself in the days of when Jesus was born or before that. First of all, if you are not a Jewish person in here, anybody that is Jewish, raise your hand. Any Jewish person in here? Okay, right off the bat, if you wanted to worship God, or in that time, Yahweh, you could only get into the outer courts. I did a lot of research. I didn't know that they had an outer court just for Gentiles in the temple. You guys knew that. You guys are really smart. I didn't know that. Because I thought, I wonder how far Gentiles in that day. So let's say that you found out about Yahweh and you're like, I want to worship that God too. That sounds awesome. You may not even think that way, but let's say you did. I want to go in. So they would allow you to go to the temple, which is their church, okay? They didn't call it that. It was their temple. That's where they would worship God. And you would be able to go into the outer court of the Gentiles. Because I'm going to teach you, there's a whole bunch of outer courts. There's the outer court for the Gentiles. Now, if you are a woman, okay, if you're a Gentile, you're here. But if now you're a Jewish woman, so everybody here, if you're a woman, you're now a Jewish woman. Okay, you following along? You're a Jewish woman and you want to get close to God, you had the outer court for the Jewish women. So you got the Gentiles, which most of us are there, but now we're pretending we're Jewish women. Now you have the outer court for the Jewish woman. Maybe you're a little closer because the Gentiles are over here and you're here, okay? Now let's say that you're a male, all the males in here, you're now Jewish. You had the Jewish outer court for the males. You were a little closer to God. Okay, you following me? So you want to worship God and you already have an obstacle. If you are a Gentile, you're way out here. If you're a woman, you're a little closer. If you're a man, you're a little closer. And then they had the outer court for the priests. All the priests. Okay, now you have the outer court for the priests. And now you have the inner court. And then you had one priest that was allowed to go once a year upon his death, possibly, into the Holy of Holies. Just stop, because everybody in here, I think I know everybody in here. I'm not preaching to unsaved people. I want you to stop and think for a minute when we were worshiping that we could go into the inner courts just right there. We could worship in the Holy of Holies. You want to take it a step further? Who are you? What are you now? You are the temple. You are the temple where Jesus dwells. And so in our worship today, we are the temple. He is in the inner courts of our lives and we could worship him freely. But if you were 2,000 years earlier, how many obstacles did you have just to get into the inner court? We're gonna study a man today, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. How did that song go? I was trying to remember it. Come on, children's pastor guy. Wee little man was he, climbed up to a sycamore tree. They're singing it. Go ahead, sing it. And we know whose daughter that is. She's the only one that knows all the words. Right now, we're family. We could totally do all this. Turn to Luke 19. So what we're talking about are obstacles here. I want to open your eyes, hopefully. Maybe you guys are brilliant, so maybe this is not fully opening. You're like, I know some of this stuff. But maybe you don't, and maybe you don't realize Pastor Rod opened today with the miracle that Jesus did with wine. And we can pass by that so quickly. We can pass by that so quickly that Jesus, in a moment, saved a wedding. We're like, what's the big deal? Well, first of all, he changed water into wine. That's a pretty big deal. Anybody do that lately? Did you hear that joke of the man that got pulled over because he was drinking and driving? The guy said, I think you've been drinking. He said, I don't think I've been drinking. He's like, well, what's in your container? And the guy took a sip. He's like, that's wine. He's like, Jesus did it again. That was not planned. Okay. We could pass by that moment, though, that Jesus saved the reputation. Okay, think about it. Jesus didn't just save a wedding. He saved the reputation of a man. I want us to start reading scripture to start seeing the Jesus that knows people intimately and saves people intimately. What I mean by that is that he knew this man and he wanted to save his reputation because he asked. Actually, it was mother that asked. He didn't even know what was happening. So turn to Luke 19 and we're gonna go through the story of Zacchaeus, this wee little man. Should I say anything, Dad? It's funny, you often say little wee things about me. Okay, Luke 19, we're gonna start at verse 1. I wanna work our way through this. We could read through it so quickly, but let's stop one thing at a time. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, that's a pretty important word. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. Stop there. Here's a man that is not a tax collector. He is a chief tax collector. We've talked about this many times. If you don't know, a tax collector is a Jewish man who works for the Roman occupying nation. Romans occupied Israel. So he was literally a traitor to his people working for Rome. You following me? This is who this man is. Tax collectors, they were required to take the taxes from the Jewish people, but because they had that position, they could take the tax, they could charge extra to put in their pocket. So they're not only traitors to their people, they are taking extra money from their very own people and putting it in their pockets. They were despised, hated people. It gets worse. It doesn't say he was a tax collector. It says he was the chief tax collector. You know what that means? He was the boss mob. It literally means that he had other tax collectors under him. So when those people collected taxes, those people would collect money, and he would also, because he was over them, take some of their money. So often these people were being taxed twice, sometimes three times higher than they should be. They don't even want to be taxed because they are occupying their land. They're like, why are we getting taxed? This is our land. Well, Romans are occupying it. You got to pay a tax. So then their own people are taking their money. Okay? Despised man. What does it say next? It says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. What does that mean? Well, he invested his money really well. Nope. That means he stole a lot of money. It means he'd been doing this for a long time. He was taking money from his own people. So you can imagine he was not the most like person in that crowd that's about to form. He was isolated from people. Nobody wanted to be around him. I actually looked it up. I wanted to see if tax collectors were even allowed in the temple, because you got to remember, these are Jewish people that are betraying their people. And it said, although they were allowed to go into the temple, rarely did they ever, because they were hated and despised. They put tax collectors usually with the words sinner and prostitutes. Behold, there were sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. So you get the idea who this man is, right? Is he well-liked? Nope. Does he get invited to most of the parties? Nope. He's despised, okay? Let's keep reading. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So let's go back to this idea of obstacles. So we have the obstacle of the fact that he is not well-liked, he is despised. Now we have a second obstacle that's formed. Do you remember what it said? He wanted to see who? Jesus. This Jesus, this one that's been walking around doing miracles, he wants to see Jesus. But he has this obstacle. He's despised and not liked, and now there's a crowd in front of him. And do you think they were making room for him? No, they weren't like, oh, Zacchaeus, good to have you here. Why don't you come to the front? No, they're like, Zacchaeus, I can imagine the moment, you know, pushing him out of the way. Nope, you're not getting through. I bet it was even more violent than that, to be honest with you. There probably was some elbowing if he was trying to get through. And then he has another obstacle of the crowd. He's got another obstacle of being short. He was a wee little man. So he's now short. So he has this crazy dilemma that he wants to see Jesus, but all these obstacles stand in the way of seeing Jesus. So he has this idea, and we're going to keep reading. He has an idea to go to a sycamore tree. It says, so he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. I wanted to show you for a second a sycamore tree. If you can put up that sycamore tree. This is a sycamore tree. Sycamore trees are really cool. There are sycamore trees in North America. They grow taller, but these sycamore trees grow 30 to 50 feet high. But one thing about a sycamore tree that they say is a feature, especially in the Middle East, is a sycamore tree often has low climbing branches. And so it's a perfect tree. How many like to climb when you were younger? That's it. No other climbers. I love to climb trees. You just had to climb the right tree. And those are some of the trees where you're like, there are so many branches. Our kids, we had a tree in the front of our house. They loved to climb it and go as high up as they could. You know, when you're a kid, a little tree is not a little tree, right? It's a big tree. So you climb as high. And so this is a tree known for low hanging branches. Something else that's really interesting, if you could show the fruit, sycamore trees have a fig-like fruit that grow. Very interesting, though. A sycamore fruit, do you know what they called it? A poor man's fruit. Very interesting. They called it a poor man's fruit because it was easily accessible, and those that were poor would often go there to be able to grab something to eat. It's a poor man's tree. So stop and think. Here's a man that wants to see Jesus that has all these obstacles in his way. But there was something that was happening in the heart of Zacchaeus that said, I have to see Jesus. And I will fight all the obstacles necessary so I can see Jesus. Did you know right now in our world, there is something happening among people where they are starting to say, and they may not say Jesus, they are starting to say, I want to find something supernatural. Do you know that? There are crazy things happening. People that are coming to the Lord that you would have never have believed they would come to the Lord. Because inside, I think God is turning on a switch and going, you've done it this way for so long. I'm going to flick a switch and make you begin to open your eyes that there's a better way. And so we have to realize there's going to be people that we're going to think, they never want to know Jesus. And all of a sudden, okay, let's back up. We have got to stop thinking that people do not want to know Jesus. Because that's the first obstacle we face, that when we want to tell somebody or invite them to church or invite them to an event, we think, no, they're not going to want to come. That is not true. Because people's hearts are looking at the world going, you know what? Like the last 50 years, it's like we've done some sort of experiment and it's not working out so great. Maybe there's something else out there. And so here is Zacchaeus. Now, think about it. This is a poor man's tree. Think about the obstacle that a short man who had some stature in there because he was hated, but they also knew that he had Rome behind him, would climb a tree to see somebody. But what kind of a tree was he climbing? A poor man's tree to be able to see Jesus. He was willing to step out of his comfort zone to try to get a glimpse of Jesus. That's so powerful. Look, not only was he willing to maybe, you know, embarrass himself to climb a tree and change his stature of whatever he thought he had still left, but he would do it in a poor man's tree. But did you see what happened? It said, Jesus looked up and he saw him. But this is the cool thing. He said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm having dinner with you tonight. Stop and think. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus already saw Zacchaeus and he knew him by name. I want that to break you because he knows us by name. When I was the kid in grade school who would never preach, preaching wasn't even, like, I don't want to do plays. I don't want to public speak. I don't want to do anything. And Jesus is like, actually, this is what Jesus was saying. John, because that's my real name, means gift from God. John, you don't even know the plans I have for you. You think this, but I think this. And he knew me by name, whether I was following him or not, he knew me by name. And what I want us to do is let that break us, because I want every person to walk in here to go, we don't have to say these things. Please don't say these things. But in our hearts, we get to know, oh my gosh, there's another person that Jesus knows by name. Don't get all weird. You know, don't go up to people and get all weird with that. But I want in your heart to begin to go, somebody walked through the door and Jesus knows them by name. So what does he have in store for them today? Because here's the thing, they have obstacles when somebody walks through the door. What I'm trying to do over and over again is change our mindset, because I believe because we are going after the fact that people will begin to walk through our door that have no grid for church whatsoever. And here's the point of my talk. I do not want to be an obstacle for them to find Jesus. I want to be an opportunity. I want us to be, if you can go back to that sycamore tree, that really rhymed well. I want us to be branches for people to climb on so they can see Jesus. I want them to have a chance to climb a branch and go, I can see Jesus because of you. But the first thing we need to do is there is nobody, I want you to understand this, there is nobody excluded ever from seeing Jesus. We often think, and you know, I've been challenged this week. If you watch anything to do with the hostage exchanges, all that, you know, it's so hard to keep a heart that loves people when you see such evil in the world. But what we have to realize is that evil, Jesus still loves them. Because he loves them, are they going to heaven? No. That's the one thing we have to remember. They still have to receive his love. But we have to understand that there is nobody excluded if they choose to receive him as their savior. We gotta remember that, okay? So I'm not changing theology, but I want you to understand that even though they're doing all these things, Jesus still has a heart for those people. How do I know that? Zacchaeus, Paul, who was Saul, who killed the believers of Christ. He killed them, tortured them, stoned them, and yet he called him by name. Like, man, I want us to start changing our mindset. I don't want to be an obstacle for people. I want to be an opportunity. So Zacchaeus said, he said, come down. I must stay at your house. You know what that must have been like for him? You want to what? Like, nobody wants to stay at my house. I don't even have parties. I don't have social gatherings. Nobody wants to come to my house. Zacchaeus, we're having dinner tonight. You're cooking. Because hospitality in that day was huge. So to go to somebody's house meant you were welcoming them into your home. So everybody, there's a response here. Look at, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Of course he would. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. He is a sinner. And they complained. What will people do if somebody walks into this house that's a sinner? Well, my friends, we all did today. We all walked through those doors. But, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Really, I can find a parable about that too, but we're not going to stay on topic here. Look what Jesus has done in our lives. You know, Dorman will not probably share that part, but he's shared many times. Look where Dorman was. Dorman got set free and then still had to climb over obstacles. We got set free from drugs right here on this line. We all have stories, don't we? We just love to cover it up with church clothes. But when we get to the truth of who we really are, and then we get excited to go, yeah, but Jesus took away all the obstacles. Like, that's why I was so excited today. I'm like, we get to worship in the inner of courts, the Holy of Holies. Jesus just came in. And when we get the realization that the only reason for that is in the cross and the cross alone, not my behavior, not the good deeds that I've done, nothing qualifies me to be in the presence of God except for Jesus. And if you are here today trying to figure that out without Jesus, I want to tell you, stop figuring it out and come to Jesus, because he knows you by name and he knows where you're at. And you just need to say, Jesus, I have tried all my life. It ain't working. I'm coming to you. Because look what happens. This is such a short story, but so much happens. Just too excited. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I'll give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I will restore fourfold. What just happened? He encountered Jesus is what just happened. There is nothing here about what Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't belittle him. Jesus didn't make him feel bad. It doesn't even look like Jesus preached to him. But Jesus opened his life to him. I don't know what kind of a conversation they had, but it may have went something like this. Zacchaeus, man, thanks for welcoming me into your house. Zacchaeus, that's an interesting name. Zacchaeus, do you know what your name means, Zacchaeus? Well, I do know what it means, but I don't like to talk about it. Well, let me talk about your name. Because Zacchaeus, your name means pure and innocent. I'm calling you back to your name today. Not only did I call you by name, I'm calling you back to who you are. And your name means pure and innocent. And Zacchaeus, today that's how I want to see you, and I can see you that way. I'm not sure if he said all that, but all I know is the name Zacchaeus means pure and innocent. And here's a man that sold everything. He sold his birthright. He sold his honor. He sold everything to be able to become wealthy. And then he, you know, so you're no longer pure and innocent when you're doing that. And then he meets Jesus, and the next thing you know, he's like, Lord, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I'll restore it fourfold. All we know is that Zacchaeus had a transforming moment. And did you know, if you read clearly through the Bible, you will find that everybody meets Jesus that wants to will have a transforming moment? So church, here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced of, as long as I'm the pastor of this house, I want to make it so accessible for people to come through the doors that they can encounter Jesus and have a transformation. Sometimes that means that we have to change a little bit so people can climb those branches. And I believe with all my heart, because I'm going to read one thing and then we're going to look at one more thing and then I just want to nail it down. But it says here, look at, and Jesus said to them, today, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. There's another moment that he's calling him back to his heritage. He's like, Zacchaeus, you are a son of Abraham. Come back to who you're supposed to be. Well, what does that mean? Well, in his mind, he's like, maybe with all this, maybe I could go back to the temple. Maybe I could be one of those men that gets a little closer without realizing that he's as close as he's ever going to be to God, because he was right there. But they didn't know all that yet. They didn't understand that. But in their minds, they're thinking, temple, I got to get closer to the inner courts. And maybe now I'm a son of Abraham. I just had my identity restored. Maybe I can get closer. And then he says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew, when Jesus returns, he clearly comes and he says, this is your mandate. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and do all that I command you to do. Go and do how I showed you. Go and do how I modeled. What was he modeling? He just restored a man and he said, I have come to save that which is lost. What are we going to do? We are going to restore people and help them become that which is lost. Amen. That should have created a little more of a cheer. But here's my concern. Here's my concern. Without realizing it, now this is not, we have come so far. Church in the world, not just us, have come so far. But I believe without realizing it, in early days, we modeled Old Testament. What does that mean? Christians come to church and Christians worship Jesus. And most people that were not Christians never felt comfortable going to church. And God's like, I'm blowing that all out of the water. And now what's going to happen is you're going to become my ministers. You're going to become my temple. And you're going to become branches for those to climb on so they can see Jesus. Amen? Amen? It means we have to change our mindset. It means we have to begin to go, I don't come to church. I know we've talked about it. I will keep talking about it. We don't come to church just so we can glory in the presence of God. That is a wonderful thing that we get to do. But by the way, you get to do that at home too, because you understand what it means to throw on a worship song and praise the Lord. He can show up right there. Amen. But most people don't know how to do that if they've never seen Jesus. So what we get to do is we get to come in and go, we're going to create an atmosphere today. What do I need to do? How can I become a branch for someone to stand on to see Jesus? You know what that may look like? That may look like, wow, today's really full. Not my chair, I'm standing over on the wall like the prophetic word said we're gonna do. I'm gonna go to the back because I want them. I think this person needs to be in the front. I don't have a chair here. There is no such thing as we own chairs. I'm gonna give them my chair today. Not only that, I'm gonna be praying today that they have an encounter. And man, when they have an encounter, I am going to celebrate. And we're gonna worship. I'm not gonna let my fatigue keep me from worshiping. We're gonna worship because we want the presence of the Lord to come in so they can have an encounter. We're gonna begin to rip away every obstacle because when somebody walks through the door, I want to be an opportunity for them to meet Jesus. And you guys don't realize you're already doing it, that your hellos, that your joy, that your, hey, it's so good to have you here. Hey, you know, is there anything I can do to help you out? Can I explain anything? All those things are beginning to make room and opportunities for people to meet Jesus. Hey, you wanna come out for lunch afterwards? I'm not sure. Oh, don't worry. I want to buy lunch for you today. I want to just get to know you. I'm not going to preach at you. Oh, no. We're not going to do that because that's an obstacle because I don't see that in this. We're just going to love on people. So the next week they go, I don't know what is about that place. It's kind of, I don't know. It's cool. It's weird, but I want to go back. I want to go back. Because what I begin to hear, and we're already hearing stories of people that come in and they're like, I have a story of somebody, I'm not gonna use names, but they've come and they got to that door before they started to cry coming into the sanctuary. And they're like, Pete's sake, I cried almost every song, what is going on? And I hear other people that say, I don't know what it is, I know I need to come back because I feel so different every time I'm there. They're on a journey. They're on a journey to meet Jesus. We get to be a part of that journey. So here's the thing. Jesus said, go make disciples. He didn't say, go have church. No, really. He didn't say, go to the temple and don't let other Gentiles anywhere near. He said, no, go and make disciples. Put up that scripture verse for me. I just wanted to burn this into you. This is what Jesus said he came to do. We can read that. Our desire is to remove obstacles that keep people from encountering Jesus, the hope of the world. But the scripture says, next slide, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So that is part of our mandate, to seek and save those who are lost. So church, I want you to help me to rip down every obstacle possible from people encountering Jesus. Thank you, Pascal. I know you're processing. See, right now, today, I was very concerned because as I'm preparing this message, I'm beginning to think differently. What I'm thinking about is when I got here, we had a sheet of ice, and I thought, that's an obstacle. That's an obstacle from people getting in here. You'd be like, it's just ice. Well, so here's the thing. Our mandate's to come and to save those who are lost. But what happens if somebody falls that doesn't know us? Because people will often say, well, nobody in our church would sue us. Well, but what happens actually if somebody comes from our church that doesn't come to our church, like comes to us? What happens if they fall and they sue? I know that seems like a vague thing, but that could affect everything that we do. Now, that's an extreme thing, but do we really want somebody that's trying to come to our church and sliding all over to get through the doors? Like, and people will say, well, it's gotta be tough to come to know the Lord. Listen, you and I have a bunch of junk in our lives that make it tough enough to come see the Lord. You know what? If they're coming in here for the first time, they've got fear, they've got shame, they've got awkwardness, they've got all these things that are already obstacles. They don't need slippery ice. Something that we can easily take care of. So I'm like, okay, got to get the guys out here. We got to get this cleaned up to the best of our ability. So I want to start looking at every obstacle. Our staff are beginning to do that. When they walk through the doors, we're like, okay, what are obstacles for people when they come in? Because if they have kids, do they know where to go? What do they do with the kids? We know the system. We know what time we release the kids at, but they don't. So how do we get rid of this obstacle? We have a major obstacle right now. Right now, I am beginning to pray about how on earth we can do this Hello Essex. How many remember I talked about Hello Essex? Raise your hand if you remember. Yeah, kind of. Okay. Hello Essex is this idea that we want to get to know Essex, and we also want to love on our town. Our footprint that we can touch is Essex and Cottam. So we want to start with Essex. Hello Essex, we love you. This is who we are. We're Ascend Church. You may never have heard of us before, but we want to let you know who we are. So here's the thing. I expect people to start showing up when we do that. What about you? It would be crazy to put money and effort into something that we don't expect people to show up. That means that we have to be fully ready to have an environment where people can come in. Right? We don't want them walking in and going, okay, this is a nut house, man. This is chaos. They don't have any organization skills here at all. I'm not bringing my kids anywhere to Sunday school. They're climbing off the roof. Why am I saying that? Because right now, Pastor Rod does 3 out of 4 classes a week. A month. That seems great for us, not for him, though. So this is a major obstacle, because probably what I'm going to do, we've been talking about this, but I don't want to burn that man out, because that's just one of the positions that he carries here. He's my associate, and there's a lot of things that he does and needs to do. So I have to make a decision right now to go, and for his sake, I may have him go down to 2 times a month so I don't burn him out, which means that we're going to have this awkward thing where we don't have Sunday school. Now, I don't want to go into Hello Essex without having Sunday school. So we have an obstacle right in front of us right now to be able to reach the lost. Now, you might be in here and you may think, why do we have to reach the lost? Like this is good what we do. Can't we just keep it like this? We could, and totally miss the thing that God asked us to do. I want to keep going back to, you were born not to just come and worship Jesus. You were born to seek that which is lost. Why? Because that's what Jesus did, and that's what he asked us to do. And by the way, is there any greater joy when you see somebody that was lost or broken or hurting? Like, you got to remember, this man's wealthy. You know, they're like, well, the wealthy usually don't have any problems. Really? Middle class have problems, the poor have problems, the wealthy have problems. But he wanted to meet Jesus. And I want to be an opportunity for people to meet Jesus. And I want this house to be an opportunity where they can walk in and they can go, I met Jesus here. I want it to be where we continue to train up prophetic people that can walk up to them and maybe even get to the point where we call them by name. Because that's what Jesus did. How did he find out his name? No, he used the Holy Spirit to help him understand. This is Zacchaeus, pure and innocent. Wouldn't that be great if everyone was trained in here to be able to walk up to people and just to love on them? I know that you've gone through this, but I want to let you know God sees you this way. Come on, church, can you begin to dream with me of what this house could see happen? I have a friend that went to this church up in Barrie, and I was reading some of the things that they're seeing happen, and I'm like, I was going to have one up. I just didn't have time, but I thought, I want, in a year from now, I want us to experience the same thing, where somebody says, listen, I just want to let you guys know that I've never gone to church, but I had a friend that took a chance, I guess, and invited me, and I've been going to church ever since. And now I can't imagine any Sunday not going to church, and I just want to say thank you to my friend because he invited me and changed my life. Wouldn't you want to see a bunch of those up there? Of people saying, thank you for opening your house because it changed my life. I met Jesus at your house. I met Jesus when I was bowling. I met Jesus at the men's ministry. I met Jesus at the women's ministry. I met Jesus from somebody on a sidewalk. We got into a conversation because he helped to, I tripped and he helped me up. And before I know it, we're talking. Next thing I know, he's telling me about Jesus. And I'm so glad I'm here now. Can you dream of it? Yes. It's going to take us to be different, though. It's going to take us to go, I'm not an obstacle, I'm an opportunity. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm calling it people obstacles. But the reality is, without meaning to, we can all be obstacles. We can all accidentally be an obstacle for somebody to meet the Lord. I'm really excited about the future. You know, we have those words, find hope. And I believe, because it's already happening, that people will see that word hope and drive into this parking lot. And I know you guys are so amazing at just loving on people, but I know we're just going to get so much better at it. I'm trying to close, but I see moments where, you know, somebody's trying to worship and they're, you know, they're brand new and they're child. Like, that, first of all, you got to remember, when they walk in, they don't know what to do. They have probably no grit if they've never gone to church. And maybe they've gone to a Catholic church, so they're waiting to, like, where do we kneel at here? There's nothing to kneel. Like, they don't know when they walk into a church what to expect. So we have to be willing to be those people that are like, yeah, we'll walk you through this. There's nothing hard about this. And you see that woman that's trying to get into worship, maybe kind of close her eyes and their kids crawling all over them. And you just say, hey, would it be okay if I just watched your kid right here? I'm just going to stand right here. But would it be okay if I got them coloring or something? Can you imagine if a woman gets an opportunity to worship because somebody just goes, you know what? I'm not here for me. We often think this is what Jesus is looking for, but I would argue that that's what Jesus is looking for. Because now somebody has an opportunity to climb that tree because they're not being distracted and they get to see Jesus. And we get to love on a child while mom experiences God. Like, I want to find ways to be opportunities and not obstacles. Why don't you stand? I'm looking forward to you guys coming up with ideas too. Because right now we have this obstacle of children's ministry and we need to find a solution so we can, I can't move forward with Hello Essex until we actually solve this obstacle. Because I don't want them, I don't want new people coming in and then we have little packs, because that's what we're gonna have to do, little packs for kids to work on. And we're also, we can't let kids run all over here. That's just chaos. And the more people we have, the more chaotic it's gonna be. We just gotta find order. Not religion, okay? Just some sort of order. So people can come in, because you know what? Kids want to be safe. Parents want their kids to be safe. So we got to find ways to fix this obstacle. And you're going to be praying. You're going to be praying with me to say, Lord, how do we, if we're going to do Hello Essex, how do we fix this obstacle? Amen. You guys are quiet. I know you're with me. So Lord, we stand today. I think everybody, you know my heart. We want to be opportunities. And Lord, in the coming days, you're going to open our eyes to even more of what that looks like. But Father God, I thank you that in the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus, that Lord, a man that was far from you and far from his people was restored in an encounter with you. And Lord, we want to be encounters for people. We want them to climb the branches of ascent and truly ascend into your presence and to meet you. And so Lord, we say, just like in Isaiah, here we are, send us. You want that? Maybe you need to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, send me. I don't know what it looks like. We're not talking about some foreign mission field. We're talking about right here, the mission field called ascent. Here we are, Lord. Send us. And if you're here today, and again, you don't know Jesus, I want you to know he knows you by name. It's not a mistake that you're here. He called you here. He knows you by name, and he loves you. He knows your mistakes. He knows the good things. He knows the bad things, and yet he calls you by name. And we say thank you. So now, Lord, we ask you to do an incredible work in this house. Lord, we ask you to break down every obstacle that is still here. We ask you to show us how we can break down the obstacles. But Lord, for every obstacle, including this one with kids ministry, Lord, we ask you to make a way so we can do what we're called to do. Make a way. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. I bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.